How dare we speak Merry Christmas? How dare we?
The Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season.
The radical left wanted to get rid of the word Christmas. I said, I don't think that's going to work out. And we did it, and now everybody's saying Merry Christmas again.
You know, the only way it's going to be a white Christmas this year at the non-white Christmas party is if Lamar Cook makes his $85,000 bail.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
How dare we say Merry Christmas? We'll say it. Merry Christmas. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne in for Howie. Thank you for being with us. Just seeing in the news, Barry Manilow diagnosed with lung cancer. Apparently, he's just finishing his Christmas tour. He had bronchitis. The doctors looked. They found a spot. He's going to get treatment now that his Christmas tour is over. Well wishes to Barry Manilow. That's tough. You hate to see it. Too bad Taylor has stepped away now, because I could have got him to do a little Barry Manilow. Do you know, Matt, does Taylor sing any Barry Manilow songs, or is it all Frank Sinatra?
Oh, I'm sure he knows some Barry Manilow.
I could see him doing like the Copacabana. Oh, can you put his song request for him? Let him know tomorrow I want him to open the show with Copacabana.
All right, I'll let him know.
Taylor Cormier. All right, it is after 5. You know what that means. It means it is once again time for the Chump Line.
It's your old friend Michael Jackson calling. I just want to say, those claims that I hung out with Jeffrey Epstein are ignorant. I would never do anything with little girls. This whole thing is burning me up almost as much as a Pepsi commercial.
I didn't watch any of the Michael Jackson documentaries just because they're so disturbing. But I mean, nobody thinks that he was completely innocent.
50 years of presidents pretending to have a war on drugs, and liberals' heads explode when Trump really does it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that most American people don't quite understand what's going on in Venezuela, but the idea of blowing up drug cartel shipments of drugs that are leaving, that even if they're not coming to the U.S., are fueling drugs, that are selling drugs, they're getting people addicted. I don't think there's a lot of sympathy for the drug cartels that are getting blown up. Today's Chump Line is brought to you by the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Launcher. For those who want a powerful self-defense option without resorting to deadly force, visit Byrna.com/Howie to save 10%. That's BYRNA.com/Howie.
Who say President Trump doesn't have a big heart? He is flying millions of people to be reunited with their families for Christmas.
I mean, he is reunifying them. He's bringing families back together. And plus, unlike the Obama administration, he's offering to deport them together. So you could say it's a Christmas miracle.
I can't confirm this, but allegedly the suicided brown shooter had a piece of tape light in his coat.
Had a piece of what?
Tail light.
Taillight. Oh, it was a Karen Reed joke. All right. My bad.
They should take the $50,000 reward and take it out of President Paxson's annual salary, seeing how she doesn't do anything.
I have to tell you, this whole story that the tipster might not get the $50,000 after everything they did, after the tip that led to the actual finding of the shooter, to identifying him, to not give it to him is crazy. I know the mayor of Providence was saying the tipster should get it. Has someone at least set up a GoFundMe for this guy? Because if he's not getting the reward money that he is due after the FBI, after the campus police, after Providence, after no one seemed to be able to identify him, you have this homeless guy that does the right thing. You needed him to do it. He deserves the 50 grand.
Aaron, it's your friend Michael Jackson go.
We already heard from you, Michael Jackson. Next.
It makes sense why the Somalis targeted Walls. First, he's not very smart. Second, he has no balls. They knew their crime spree was a guarantee with their Patsy Tampon Tim making all the calls.
I thought I was sick about hearing about Tim Walz, but Limmer Guy did it well. Good job. I think that's a good one.
Carr, Curley, Chadbourne, Cormier, Crawford. If your last name begins with a C, you too can be a host on the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Matt, your last name begins with an M?
Correct.
That's it. You're out of the lineup. Only C's from here on out.
I wonder if Mia Wu's going to have that mariachi band at her Christmas party. Boy, I'd hate to miss that.
Did Mayor Wu have her party, or did she cancel it this year?
You know what? We haven't heard anything, because I feel like Howie, if they had had it, Howie would have been on top of it, but he didn't mention anything before he went on break.
Well, we'll get to the bottom of it, and we'll bring you the update. I don't think she had it. I think after all the fight that she got, but maybe it's like an underground party, but either way,
it's
I would not
Fight
be
Fight Club now. You don't talk about the Christmas party.
That was your last Chump Line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
Today's Chump Line is brought to you by the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Launcher. For those who want a powerful self-defense option without resorting to deadly force, visit Byrna.com/Howie to save 10%. That's BYRNA.com/Howie.
Harry, it's your old friend Michael Jackson calling. I just want to say, those claims that I hung out with Jeffrey Epstein are ignorant. I would never do anything with little girls. This whole thing is burning me up almost as much as a Pepsi commercial.
First of all, why did Michael Jackson say he was my old friend? Just because he's like everybody's old friend. I didn't know Michael Jackson. I don't like that insinuation. And I did forget. Remember? Do you remember, Matt, when his hair got lit on fire at the Pepsi commercial? It was a big deal.
I might have been a little too young for that.
It was in the 80s. There was a Pepsi commercial he did and his hair caught fire. It was a big thing because he was like the biggest star in the world at the time. Very musically talented, but what a disturbed guy. And a part of that is just the fame and like what goes on. And you look at Michael Jackson, you look at Britney Spears, you look at these people that we as a society, that fame and culture and music and the industry, what it does to people. And it's so funny because when you're younger, you think you want that. You think you want fame. You think you want celebrity. You think you want the lifestyle. You want to be a movie star or a music star or a rock star. And then you look at what happens to these people. You know, Michael Jackson, he obviously had some sort of skin condition, vitiligo, but then the plastic surgery and then the craziness and ugh. And then you look at Britney Spears, she went nuts. I mean, all these people, we just value the wrong things. What we really need to value is having a normal life, having a family, having a church community, having real normalcy in your life, hard work, providing for a family. I mean, those are the things that we should be valuing and celebrating, not this, you know, romanticization and fantasization about Hollywood. And that's what leads to these, you know, these people becoming disturbed, but also that gives power to people like Jeffrey Epstein. They're chasing the money. They're chasing the fame. They're chasing high society. They're chasing some other meaning. When really what used to be important was what happened in your hometown, what happened at your dinner table. And we've really got to return to those values because that's where real meaning comes. And what better message to have at Christmas than that the real magic of Christmas doesn't come from celebrity, doesn't come from magical guy with magical reindeer flying through the sky. It comes from faith. It comes from family. It comes from salvation. It comes from, you know, building a community based on shared values. And that's what we have to look forward to. That's what we have to celebrate. More Howie Carr Show when we come back. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
So Michael Jackson, you know, we were talking before the break. He did have his hair set on fire during the Pepsi commercial. And it burned his scalp so bad that it resulted in permanent scarring, which led to his dependence on wigs, also likely led to his addiction to painkillers. So it was a big deal. He had a settlement with Pepsi for the accident, but part of the downfall in his life. There you go. The more you know, Matt, you don't remember it. Like, there's a whole thing.
So I looked up the date. It happened in 1984. I was born in 1989, so it happened 5 years before I was born.
I was born in 1983, but like I remember this as like an element of like Michael Jackson lore, you know?
Yeah, the only thing I remember from Michael Jackson lore is like I read the rumor that his nose fell off on stage.
Mm, I don't think it did.
No,
I think that's just like a thing that you hear as a kid. That yeah. You're like, you know, you hear that stuff as a kid and it like sticks with you. I remember it when you go to Disney World, or actually it was Epcot Center, there was the 3D ride called Captain Nemo. And it was starring Michael Jackson. You put on the 3D glasses, and that's when like that didn't exist anywhere. It was like really novel technology. There's my Michael Jackson lore for you. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Launcher. For those who want a powerful self-defense option without resorting to deadly force, visit Byrna.com/Howie to save 10%. That's BYRNA.com/Howie. Matt, what is today's poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you approve of how the DOJ is handling the release of the Epstein files? Yes or no?
Well, do you, Matt?
No, but I kind of knew this was probably going to be the way it was released. A lot of redacted stuff and a slow release. And 51% of the audience agree no.
51? We're slipping. People are coming to their defense. Now, here's the thing. I specifically wrote the question to say the Department of Justice, not the Trump administration, not the Trump Justice Department, but the Justice Department at large, because this has been going on since the 90s. There has been stonewalling. There have been so many attempts to thwart Republicans who have called for the release. And even this last batch that came out, one of the excuses for why there were so many redactions or why it was incomplete was that they'd only had 30 days since Congress passed this law. Well, we knew the law was coming. We knew it before the government shut down. And the government was shut down for, what was it, a record number of days and all this time. Well, they could have been hard at work reviewing them then. They could have set up a task force or a panel of judges or something that would give more credibility than some nebulous process that goes on in the bowels of the deep state. And what we've seen, and you're right, Matt, to say that you never, like, no, but it's going about how you expected. We've seen it time and time again with the JFK files. And during Trump 1.0, Trump said, I want them released. And then Mike Pompeo and the deep state came and said, oh, well, we can't release this. We can't release that. And there are always these exceptions. But the way in which they're being released right now, I think, are doing Trump a big disservice because it's making it seem like there's something to hide. And really what they need to do is they need to define the goal, define the universe of material that's discoverable and that can be revealed, and then go through it systematically, give a timeline, and build faith and credibility. What keeps happening is they keep giving openings to people to claim that something's being hid. And when Trump talks about it being a hoax, he doesn't mean that Jeffrey Epstein wasn't a pedophile or Jeffrey Epstein wasn't a sex trafficker. He was, and he was convicted of it. What he means is that the Democrats are trying to turn it into a get Trump hoax. They're trying to turn it into the story about Epstein is a story about Trump. And that is what is going to derail a lot of the progress that's been happening. The left saw that there was a division between conservatives on the MAGA side, and they have seized on it and they tried to weaponize it. And I think that the media is all but too happy to help them. The media didn't care about Jeffrey Epstein when Republicans wanted the files released during the Biden administration. I remember Senator Marsha Blackburn would go to the committees. She would try to get it voted. She wouldn't be allowed to even have a vote and bring it to the vote. Democrats didn't care about this when they thought they were protecting Bill Clinton. But now that they think that there's an opening to get Trump, they'll throw Bill Clinton to the curb. And Bill Clinton, by the way, like, I mean, the pictures that are coming out of him and his many travels and the people in the pictures with him, I mean, not saying he necessarily did anything, but I think people want to see the evidence and they want to hear from the accusers. And if the accusers have evidence that certain things happened, if they've been investigated, if there were whistleblowers, if there was stuff, again, this isn't like the caller was saying earlier, this isn't like Christine Balzi Ford coming forward 40 years later and saying she thinks it was a place and she might have happened, that she didn't tell anyone at the time. But now, no, there was no evidence. There were no contemporaneous reports. This is something that there were complaints at the time. There was documentation at the time. There was a cover-up at the time that Jeffrey Epstein has been convicted of. Ghislaine Maxwell was convicted of. And I mean, Todd Blanche, I think, does a good job when he talks about why President Trump is calling it a hoax. And we'll play what he had to say on the Sunday shows this weekend. Cut number 10.
Are the Epstein files a hoax, Mr. Blanche?
What President Trump is saying is not that the Epstein files are a hoax. It's this game that Democrats have been playing for the past 9 months around the Epstein files that is a complete and total hoax.
Well, and some Republicans pushing for the release, too. Some of the Republicans were pushing for the release, too. Just to be clear.
Well, that's different. That's different. To be clear, releasing the files is not what President Trump has ever had an issue with. When he calls this a hoax, he's talking about the fact that there's this narrative out there that the Department of Justice is somehow hiding or protecting information about him, which is completely false, as evidenced by the fact that the Epstein files existed for years and years and years. And
I think that's right. I think the Republicans that have been calling for the release for years and years and years, that's what they're saying. The hoax is that the Democrats are trying to make it about Trump and make it about Trump. But the Republicans want them to come out. Now, I would say that the way in which they're going about it and still redacting things or pulling stuff down if it mentions Trump, like that kind of stuff is what leads there to be questions. And I think DOJ is not doing itself any favors. They're making themselves and they're making Trump look worse. And that's why some Republicans are still being critical, including Thomas Massey, who is calling for the release and is calling for them to be held accountable. Cut number 9.
What are you going to do about it to force them to comply? I mean, can you do anything?
Oh, absolutely. Look, people have talked about, and by the way, Todd Blanche is the face of this, but it's really the Attorney General's office, Pam Bondi, who is responsible. And there are several ways to get at this. Some take longer, some are shorter. The quickest way, and I think the most expeditious way to get justice for these victims is to bring inherent contempt against Pam Bondi, and that doesn't require going through the courts, and give her, you know, and basically Ro Khanna and I are talking about and drafting that right now.
See, that's the thing. They're trying to figure out ways that they can figure out whether she followed the law and whether she's hiding it or what the Department of Justice is doing. And the reason he's saying that isn't because she's necessarily done anything wrong, but the DOJ has not created a process that builds trust with the American people. And this is the last thing we'll say about the Epstein case today, but nothing is ever going to satisfy everyone. We know from what we've gone through with JFK and RFK and MLK and all these files and the redactions and the deep state. Like, we know that we're never going to get everything. We're not going to get it. But what we want to know is that the people that are in the government are making sure that there's not this protected elite class who's able to violate the law, that's able to prey upon children, that's able to engage in the worst acts of sexual assault, sex trafficking of children, and have there be no consequences. That we want, whether they're powerful, whether they're rich and famous, whether they're, you know, the likes of Bill Gates or an Alan Dershowitz who have been named and who have defended themselves and who have whatever, we want to make sure that there's not this cabal of people who are above the law and making children and young girls their victims. And that if they are, that the full force of law will come after them. That's what people want reassurance about. And if Pam Bondi can do that, if they can show that they've released it, they've complied with the law, and they're holding people accountable, that's what people ultimately want. I don't know that we'll ever be satisfied. I don't know that we'll ever get the story, but I do think that the victims deserve justice, and we want to make sure that people that are predators are not on the streets. You just look at Harvey Weinstein, look at Bill Cosby, look at all these situations where they were allowed to go on and on because of their celebrity. That needs to come to an end. More Howie Carr Show when we're back. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. The phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. Now, one thing I haven't gotten to spend much time on is the Turning Point USA summit over the weekend, AmFest. It was the first one held since he was assassinated. Erica Kirk carrying on the legacy of her late husband, the late assassinated Charlie Kirk. And there were people from across the conservative movement who were there. And a lot of them wanted to get in fights or beef or talk about kind of who was on what side and why and where. A lot of stuff about Israel and Candace Owens and all of that. I think that's all distraction. And I think that it's important. It's important for people to realize that the division is what the left wants. Republicans often would rather fight with other Republicans than they would fight with Democrats. But I think other than Erica Kirk, other than the surprise appearance by Nicki Minaj, we played a few of her comments earlier, the big star of the summit was our vice president, J.D. Vance. And I think he's really the heir apparent to the Charlie Kirk movement, partially because Charlie Kirk was both a great orator, a good debater like J.D. Vance is, and also espoused the Christian values and did it in an unapologetic way. And I have been getting a lot of messages since we were talking about the meaning of Christmas, the meaning of the season is really the meaning of Jesus and Christ and service and salvation. And I think that's really important. And I think J.D. Vance summarizes it and talks about it. And he talks about his Christian values. And he also talked about the importance of this MAGA coalition and the fact that they're together as a whole and not focusing on the divisions on the right, because a right divided won't win against the left. And, you know, all the callers earlier that were saying, you know, for all the problems we have with Trump, can you imagine if we had Kamala? Can you imagine if it gone the other way? This is what J.D. Vance had to say about the importance of the movement that's been built. Cut number two.
Inside of you, I mean all of you, each and every one. President Trump did not build the greatest coalition in politics by running his supporters through endless self-defeating purity tests. He says, make America great again because every American is invited. We don't care if you're white or black, rich or poor, young or old, rural or urban, controversial or a little bit boring or somewhere in between. People of every faith come to our banner because they know that the America First movement will make their lives better, and they also know that the Democrats don't care about anything other than maybe transing their kids. So if you love America, if you want all of us to be richer, stronger, safer, and prouder, you have a home on this team.
I mean, that's the message of inclusivity. We hear all this stuff about DEI, which is actually about exclusion. It's not about diversity. It's about sameness of thought. It's not about equity. It's about evening the playing field by tearing certain people down to lift others up. It's not about inclusion. It's about exclusion. What J.D. Vance was talking about was inclusion, that making America great again was meant to be for all Americans, whether you're young or old, boring or controversial. And that part, that you have to build a big, big movement and a big, big tent. Now, the other people that came and took the stage, the Megyn Kellys and Tucker Carlsons and Vivek and others, they all had these scores to settle or these arguments to have, and they were letting it play out. And I think Erica Kirk was leaning into letting it play out because she wanted to have them there. She was happy to have the attention, have the influencers, have the eyeballs. But if the MAGA-sphere, if all the MAGA personalities on their podcasts are at war with each other, then what they're not doing is they're not bringing the fight to the left. And that's kind of how Vance kind of positioned himself differently than these other podcasters and celebrities who were showing up. This is what he had to say. Cut number three.
I didn't bring a list of conservatives to denounce or to deplatform. And I don't really care if some people out there, I'm sure, will have the fake news media denounce me after this speech. But let me just say, the best way to honor Charlie is that none of us here should be doing something after Charlie's death that he himself refused to do in life. He invited all of us here. Charlie invited all of us here for a reason, because he believed that each of us, all of us, had something worth saying, and he trusted all of you to make your own judgment.
And I think, you know, as you're hearing J.D. Vance say all of that, it's really an audition in many ways, because we're setting up the stage. After the midterm elections come, we're going to see the focus turn on the left, on the right, on everywhere. We're going to see the focus turn to what happens in 2028. And this is J.D. Vance trying to claim the mantle for Turning Point USA, which is the movement right now in conservative politics, on school campuses, on the coalition that elected Donald Trump, and also the coalition that could keep the Trump-Vance agenda going. And so this is what J.D. Vance is trying to do. He's trying to say, look, don't tear each other apart. We're going to need all of you to be together. And that's going to be the interesting test. That'll be the interesting test. But he wasn't afraid to mix it up. He wasn't afraid. He didn't, when he said everyone, he didn't mean he's going to tolerate the idiocracy of the left, the craziness of people like, I don't know, Jasmine Crockett, cut five.
Oh, Jasmine Crockett. The record speaks for itself. She wants to be a senator, though her street girl persona is about as real as her nails.
I'm not sure that was the burn I would have gone with, but I mean, he's not afraid to get in the fray, to call people out, to attack the people of the far, far left who are just out of the mainstream, who are artificial, who want to be famous, who are picking these fights, who are out of step with what the American people need and what they want. And I thought one of his two kind of the effective lines that he landed, one had to do with the crazy fraud that is going on in Minnesota, when you're seeing the fraud in Medicaid. It's just insane. It's insane, and it happened under the leadership, under the watch of the so-called leadership of Governor Tim Walz. Cut number four.
Why have we worked without the help of Congress to restrict H-1B visas, for example? Because we believe it is wrong for companies to bypass American labor just to go for cheaper options in the third world. We help older Americans in retirement, including by ending taxes on Social Security, because we believe in honoring your father and mother rather than shipping all of their money off to Ukraine. We believe in taking care of the poor, which is why we have Medicaid, so that the least among us can afford their prescriptions or to take their kids to see a doctor. And it's why we are outraged at the injustice of Tim Walz allowing Somalian immigrants to defraud that program to the tune of billions of dollars. It ought to go to Americans, because that's who it's there for.
And that's really going to be the difference in the midterms. It's going to be the difference in the 2028 election, is if Republicans want to win, and this is a message to any Republicans, if you're running for governor, if you're running for Congress, if you're running for president, the party that's going to win is the party that stands for something. That's talking about...
Follow Howie on Instagram.
Yeah, hi, I'm a big influencer.
Howie Carr Radio Network.
Go ahead and check it out. Recipe in bio.
Howie Carr is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. As we're going out to the break, one of the things I was saying is that really all candidates, whether you're running for president or governor or vice president, running in the midterms for Congress, what you really need to do is you need to stand for something. It's not enough to do what Democrats do when they're running against something. And right now their message is just... Orange man bad. They're running against Trump. Stop Trump. Defeat Trump. Trump evil. What you need to do is you need to stand for something. And that's why the Trump administration needs to have real accomplishments that they put on the board. And these are the types of things that J.D. Vance was saying at the summit, such as what he had to say in Cut One.
There's still so much important work to do, my friends. We're barely a year into this administration, not even a year. Into the administration. but I'm so proud of the accomplishments of the president and the entire administration. In just a year, we ended Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's border crisis. December marks 7 months straight of zero releases at the southern border. More than 2.5 million illegal immigrants have left the United States, the first time in over 50 years that we have had negative net migration, and it's just the start. When you restore sanity at the border, it shows up everywhere else. Rent prices are dropping 4 months in a row, and more native-born Americans are working than ever before. Kamala Harris opened the border and destroyed the economy. The Trump administration gave you net negative migration and much more job creation.
I mean, that's the big thing that they can run on is restoring sanity. Restoring sanity, restoring the border, restoring law and order, restoring an identity to this country, restoring pride. And that's the message. It's a proactive and positive, and it's actually something out there. And if they can continue to run on that, that's going to be what it takes to win elections. 844-500-4242, the number here on the Howie Carr Show. Let's finish it out by taking some calls. We'll go first to Sketty. Sketty, you're on the Howie Carr Show with Aaron Chadbourne.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. I love the fact that you fill in. I really appreciate that. And I don't know if Howie's going to be back for New Year's. So maybe he's, like, taking this whole time off. And so, Howie, if you're listening and you're not back, so I can wish you a Happy New Year's. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. Howie has made, this show has made my sad times really happy. You know, it's just, this is a great show. Let's face it. It's, you can have humor with seriousness. And, you know, there's just so much out there that can bring us down. But when you get it real, like Howie and you and anybody that he has come and, you know, co-host for him, it's, you know, it's always clean. It's always right to the point. And I love that. And I thank you for filling in. So I wanted to ask you, so I got to thinking. First, I wanted to say, have you seen the baby network news?
No.
It's on YouTube. It is the funniest thing ever. It's baby Donald Trump. It's a baby Biden. It's a baby everybody that's been in the White House around him, harassing him. It's like everybody, and they're in their suits with their little ties. And it's his voice. AI has managed to do this. It is the best, funniest thing ever. They're getting ready to do the Christmas. Donald Trump saves Christmas. It's so good. And it's not where it's like beating up on Donald Trump. It's not so much as beating on Democrats or Republicans. It's to enlighten you and make you laugh. That's all. And yeah, you could take away a few good points from it, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's always good to laugh. I think that's important, especially when things do get serious. And thanks for the call, Sketty. And I think I've said it on this show before. There are a lot of people on the political left that what their primary move is, what they're usually motivated by, what they use as a political tool, is that they're using fear. They use fear in order to control people, to motivate them, to change how they vote. You have to vote because of fear instead of using inspiration or humor. And you even look at things like Saturday Night Live, which hasn't been funny for years, but during the entire Biden presidency, they wouldn't portray Biden. They didn't portray Kamala. They did it a couple times and then they were like mostly hands off. When there were absurd things that they were doing, they pretended it didn't happen. It was willful ignorance. It was the same thing that CBS News is claiming is happening now with Barry Weiss saying that they want to delay the reporting until it's got more balance or it's got more of the other side. They would do the same thing. They wouldn't put Biden on SNL. Joe Biden wouldn't sit down for the Super Bowl interview. But they wouldn't make fun of him. But notice every single episode of Saturday Night Live now, and I don't watch it. as much as I did when I was a kid and was actually funny, but every episode of Saturday Night Live, there's a Trump sketch. It's always about Trump or about Caroline Leavitt or about any small member of the Trump administration becomes a recurring character there because they have to find a way to denigrate, to make fun of, to tear down conservatives, to really diminish what they think. But they won't do the same. It's not the equal treatment that you had with Democrats. They somehow forgot because you couldn't. It would be sacrilegious. They would get kicked out of the party. That's what they want to do. So they're going to tell you that people are doing things out of fear because of Trump, but they were doing it out of fear because of Biden, because of the left, because of the control they have, and because at the end of the day, they know that they're all part of the team. They're part of the effort, and that it's concerted effort for political control. And that's the game. It's about control. It's about power. And so it doesn't matter whether you're talking about comedy shows or you're talking about news shows. It's all controlled. It's all coordinated. And it's all winner takes all. That's what it is. And so I think you're great to point out that it's fun to have fun. It's fun to be funny. You can make jokes. And Donald Trump doesn't take himself too seriously. That's the thing that he does. He'll make fun. You saw that when Mamdani was in the Oval Office. Now, I do think having Mamdani in the Oval Office, it humanized him. He also said he wanted him to succeed. He said that he's not so bad. He said they could find common ground. He said that's one of the types of things that I think gave Elise Stefanik pause and said, hey, if Trump's not going to come after Mamdani, if we're not going to go and run against the policies that are destroying New York City, the policies that have been destroying New York State under Kathy Hochul, if we can't as a unified party go and run against that together, it's going to be hard to win. And if we're not going to be able to start that campaign against the Democrat candidate for governor, the incumbent governor who's been a terrible governor, if they can't start that unified now because there would have to be a primary, then she didn't think that she could win. And I think that she was right to think that it's going to be hard for a Republican to win with a primary. So this other guy who never heard of, Trump has now endorsed. Hopefully he does well. But you got to start now. You've got to take the case to New York voters, independents, Republicans, Democrats, that Kathy Hochul has been a failure and that having a Republican would be better. And Bruce Blakeman now has Donald Trump's endorsement. Sounds like a good name. He was the Nassau County executive, so I guess he's got some executive experience working in county government. And he's been a Trump supporter from the beginning. And I imagine he must have been active in the Trump orbit for Trump to not want to take sides between him and Elise Stefanik after all that Elise Stefanik had done. But, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle for anyone. And I think that it's going to be even harder now. But it'll be hard if Trump doesn't get serious about taking the fight to Zohran Mamdani. And if Mamdani's not going to collaborate and cooperate when it comes to immigration, if he's not going to cooperate when it comes to implementing the Trump tax cuts, if he's going to stand in the way of the progress that the big, beautiful bill is meant to deliver to Americans, then I think Trump's going to call him out. He's going to bring the fight to him, and hopefully he will. I'll be back tomorrow in for Howie on the Howie Carr Show. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.